In the passage we read, John chapter 8 and verse 12, we read this: "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Light is a precious thing. As the preacher in Ecclesiastes 11 tells us, "Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many." We appreciate the light in the natural sense because of the darkness. We see the light this weekend as spring has approached, following the darkness and gloom of winter. And the light brings much joy to man. The light in the morning after the darkness of the night promises much. But what we see in the natural realm is simply a picture of the spiritual. We live in a world full of darkness. Darkness in every sense. Darkness of understanding. Darkness of wisdom. Moral darkness. Darkness of sin. Of unrighteousness. Of evil. Of rebellion. We stumble about in the darkness. We know nothing, and we see nothing by nature. And if we're ever brought out of the darkness, we will say with that preacher in Ecclesiastes, "Truly the light is sweet." Oh, to know the light of the sun, the light of the Son of God, who said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Yes, there's a sun that rises in the morning and gives us natural light. But the Son of God, rose in the morning of the first day of the week, having been nailed to a cross, rejected of all men, crucified, slaughtered like a lamb, sacrificed, beaten, bruised, scourged, spat upon, cast out, having suffered in the hours of darkness upon the cross, having borne the sins of his people, having drunk the cup of God's wrath, having waded through the fires of God's torment against sin, God's judgment, God's anger, God's righteous indignation, having gone to the depths of hell, suffering an eternity of God's wrath in the darkness of hell, in those 3 hours of darkness upon the cross, having at the end cried out, "It is finished," having given up the ghost, his body having been taken down and laid in the grave, and sealed with a great stone early on the first day of the week. The women came to the tomb Mary came to the tomb and found the stone rolled away and her Saviour risen. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This Son was risen. This Son is risen. This Son is the light which delivers from the darkness. And except we know him, except we see this light shining in the darkness, except God shines the light of Christ into our hearts and in our souls, in the darkness we will perish. Except God illuminate us and lead us like Mary to the tomb and lead us in and show us the place where the Lord lay. And say unto us, he is not here. He is risen. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's risen. Except God come unto us and lead us unto him, then in the grave we will remain. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. A light which is never quenched, a life which can never be put out. A light greater than the brightness of the midday sun. A light in which there is no darkness, no unrighteousness, no sin, no sorrow, no despair, no sickness. A bright and a shining light which illuminates all things which can never be quenched. That light which God spake of from the beginning of time, the dawn of time. As we read in Genesis, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. God divided the light from the darkness. This is God's work. None else can do this. I cannot divide the light from the darkness. I cannot divide the light from the darkness to you. I can set before you the light of God in the gospel concerning Jesus Christ. But only God can shine the light within your heart. Only God can lead a sinner out of darkness into the light. Until then, you and I would remain in verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That's where we are by nature. In the darkness, upon the face of the deep, in the deep darkness of this world and the deep darkness of unbelief. We see nothing. except the Spirit of God should come in the gospel, moving upon the face of the waters and stirring up our soul. Not only is it dark, but we are blind. Even when the Spirit moves, even when the truth shines, even when the light rises up in the morning, we see nothing because we're blind. Even when the Spirit of God comes upon the face of the waters and preaches unto us, and the voice of God proclaims his Son, except the Spirit opens our hearts to hear, we hear nothing. We're deaf and we're blind in the darkness. And yet from the beginning, the Spirit has moved. And from the beginning, God has spoken, let there be light. And there was light. And from the beginning, God has seen. God saw the light that it was good. He looked upon his Son. And from the beginning, God has divided the light from the darkness. From the beginning of time, God has sent forth his truth in the gospel throughout all this world, proclaiming his Son, setting him forth, and dividing his Son and all his people in him from the darkness around. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Outside of Christ, outside of this light, all is darkness. All is. When Christ spake these words in John chapter 8, to whom was he speaking? Prior to verse 12, we have read that Christ had come into the temple. And he sat down in the temple, and all the people came unto him, and the scribes and Pharisees came unto him, and they brought unto him a woman found in adultery in order to accuse her. And Christ wrote upon the ground as though he heard them not, and they continued asking him. So he lifted himself up and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Have no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Unto whom was he speaking? He was speaking in the temple to all the people that gathered, to the scribes and the Pharisees who brought unto him to be accused a sinner, whom he forgave. All these to whom he speaks, religious and irreligious, scribes and Pharisees in the temple, were in darkness. They were in darkness if they knew not Christ. He that is without sin among you, let him first cast the stone at her. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Only one remained. Only one remained. The one that the religious before him cast out as a sinner was the only one remaining. And she, he forgave. By his words, Christ separated the light from the darkness. God divided the light from the darkness. There was no light in these scribes and these Pharisees. They came with the law of Moses, seeking to condemn those that they thought were full of sin. But God said, "She's one of mine." For all the darkness of her deeds, for all the darkness of the sin of her heart, I've shone my light upon this one and into this one. She's mine. And for all that these scribes and the Pharisees said, "We see," they were the ones who were blind. God divided the light from the darkness. Outside of Christ, outside of him saying unto you or I, "Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more," we live and dwell in darkness. There is no light in the wisdom of this world. There is no light in the knowledge of this world. There is no light in the ways of this world. There is no light in the life of this world. There is no light in the religion of this world. All is darkness. All will keep you in the darkness. All will keep you from coming unto the only one who is the light of the world. The Pharisees did what they could to keep the people from Christ. And in the end, they had him crucified in order to stop any from hearing him, from following him, from believing him. They did all that they could to stop others from believing in him, of whom they rejected. They rejected him, and they wouldn't have anyone else believe him. So much for their religion. They were blind and they sought to make others blind. They led the blind into the ditch. Blind leaders of the blind, stumbling about in the darkness. As with them, so with the wisdom and the leaders of this world. This world promises much. You may look out with the natural eye and say, "Well, I don't see darkness, I see light. I see riches. I see beauty in the world. I see places to go and things to buy. I see treasures. It's all light to me," you say. But every day, the sun goes down. And darkness is cast across the face of the world, and you cannot stop it. You go in your house, you turn on the lights, but it's night. Every day you are reminded that in this world is darkness, and in this world the light has been divided from the darkness. Yet we grasp after what we can see. For the few moments that we're here, the few years, the few decades, which are fast taken away, until we then see no more. What vanity there is in the wisdom of this world that says unto us, lo, here is pleasure. Lo, here are riches. Lo, here is life, when all is dark. Isaiah warns us of the deception of this world. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Oh, what a day we live in which this is so. How the world would tell us that that which is right, that which is good, that which is light, that which is sweet, is evil, is dark and is bitter. Oh, how the world would say, don't follow Christ. Don't listen to the gospel. Have nothing to do with it. And oh, how it would put its ways, its ideals, its knowledge in its place and say, lo, here's good. Here's light. Here's sweetness. And how the evil's promoted as good. And how the darkness is made out to be light. And how the bitterness is made out to be sweet. What a deception, what a lie. But God divides the light from the darkness. In Exodus and chapter 10, we read of how God divides the light from the darkness, his people chosen in Christ. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Pharaoh would not let God's people go. Pharaoh amongst all promoted evil as good, darkness as light, and bitterness as sweet. He stood, as it were, as the archetype of those today who would lead us astray and keep us in bondage, who would deceive your soul. His heart was hardened against the Lord. So God sent Moses to him, and having resisted and resisted, Pharaoh had this brought upon him and his land. Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was darkness over all the land of Egypt. Darkness which may be felt. Darkness which may be felt. A thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. And they saw not one another. Neither rose any from his place for 3 days. They couldn't see, it was so dark. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. What a picture of the cross. These 3 days of darkness in Egypt. What a pointer to that place where God divided the light from the darkness, where he took his people in Christ and he took their sins and laid them upon him. And he sent those sins into the abyss. His Son bore them. His Son took them away. His Son suffered God's wrath against them. The light of God took the darkness and swallowed it up. How God divided the light from the darkness. A darkness which may be felt. Oh, has God taught you anything of the darkness in which you dwell, and anything of the darkness which dwells in you? For this darkness is not just outside. It's not a darkness of the world around you. It's a darkness which pervades the soul. It's a darkness which pervades your thoughts and your thinking. Why don't you believe? Because of the darkness. Why can't you understand? Because of the darkness. Why can't you see? Because of the darkness. But can you feel the darkness? Has the Spirit of God come upon the waters of your soul and the waters of your sin in which you're drowning and begun to speak unto you? Can you feel the darkness? Can you feel the depths? Can you feel yourself sinking? Can you feel like you're lost without Christ? For you are. We are. Except the light of the world and the light of life comes unto us, we sink. John tells us, this is the condemnation. That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. This is our condemnation, that we love the darkness. And though Christ has come, and though we've seen him in the gospel, and though he comes unto us in the gospel, and though God declares him unto us and sets him forth before us, we love the darkness rather than the light. We know that to come to Christ exposes our sin. We know that to turn to him, we must confess that we are sinners. We know that our deeds will be reproved. So we turn away, and we shut our ears, and we close our eyes, and we hurry off back into the darkness. Oh, how we'd avoid the gospel if we could. Oh, how keen we would be to hurry off somewhere else and listen to another thing. How we shut our ears. And yet God comes unto his own. No matter how far off they are. No matter how hard their hearts may be, no matter how disinterested, no matter how unbelieving, no matter how rebellious, he comes and he comes and he comes. The Spirit comes upon the waters, and he speaks gently unto the soul and points unto Christ and says, here is the light of the world. He that follows him shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. God comes to his own to divide the light from the darkness and to draw them out of the darkness around and the darkness within and point them unto his Son and say, here is my Son. Hear ye him. Hear ye him. Behold the Lamb of God. Look unto the one that when you hated him, he loved you. When you rejected him, he came unto you. When you despised him, he suffered for you. When you were taking your hands to pierce him, he stretched them forth for you. When you were nailing him to the cross with your unbelief and your despising of him, he took your sins. He took your unbelief. He took your hatred and he suffered for it. He comes unto his own and he says, though you hated me, I loved you. Though you would not come, I came unto you. Though you would not listen, I was there for you every day. Though you had no time for me, I spent all my time, all my energy, all my strength for you. Though you gave him nothing, he comes unto his own and he says unto them, I gave my all for you. And he comes unto them in the gospel as dead, blind sinners. And he puts his fingers upon their eyes and says, see. He puts his fingers upon their ears and says, hear. He takes them by the hand and lifts them up. He calls out to dead Lazarus in the grave and says, come forth. He comes unto us in the darkness as dead, dry bones in a dark, dead valley and says, live. And he says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He does not merely come and stand and offer. He does not come unto us in the gospel and stand before us and say, get up and follow me. He does not merely say, if you will, you may live. But he picks us up. He touches the blind eyes. He makes the deaf ears to hear. He divides the light from the darkness. He shines his light into the soul. He causes us to live. And we cannot but live. Oh, what a light there is in this gospel. And what life there is in that light. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. It's life-giving light. The gospel brings light, and the light it brings is life. Because the gospel makes known Christ, the living Christ, the one true and living God. God comes into the gospel to sinners like you and I who are sat in the darkness, lost and blind, dead in trespasses and sins. And God shines the light into our hearts. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The gospel is a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. For Christ is the light of the gospel. Has God brought this light unto you? Have you seen anything of it? Do you care anything for it? In John 1 we read, in him, in Christ, was life. And the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John was sent to preach the gospel concerning the light of God, Christ. This is the gospel we preach unto you today, that you should see Christ and know him. Christ says later in John's Gospel, chapter 12, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. But before ever we come to this light, we'll be made to feel the darkness. Experimentally. The darkness outside of us, the darkness inside of us, will be made to feel our emptiness, our utter emptiness without Christ. Because without Christ, we've got nothing. Your health, what is it? It's gone in a moment. As so many have learnt in the days in which we live, you don't know what a day may bring. You don't know what disease might come to your door tomorrow or today. You don't know what may come upon you. We're not in control. We're not in control of our lives. We're not in control of our freedoms. We're not in control of where we can go and what we can do. So much is outside of us. Even our health. God gives us life. God causes us to breathe. God causes our hearts to beat. And he can say in a moment, drop down dead and we're gone. And yet every day we take of his riches, we take the life he gives us, and we steal from him to use it for our own ends. We never thank him. We never praise him. We never seek him. We don't care. We take everything from his hands and we use it for our own gain. But if we're ever brought to know him, he'll teach us this. He'll teach us our emptiness outside of him, that there's no life, there's no strength, there's no light outside of Christ. Health, it's gone in a moment. Wealth, it's gone in a moment. If you ever attain to anything in this world, it's gone the day that you pass from it. It doesn't last, and your health doesn't remain to use it. How many old men are there who finally have earned enough to buy themselves some toy, some sports car or something, and they're too old? Foolishness. Soon we go, and then we'll discover the darkness. But oh, that God should teach us the darkness now, our emptiness outside of Christ. We've got nothing. There's nothing in this world that lasts. Life itself doesn't last. It's a living death. It's gone in a moment. But if God divides the light from the darkness and comes unto us in the gospel and makes us to see, then we'll discover riches beyond measure. Treasures that cannot be quantified. Life of a different realm and order to anything we've known before. Then we'll discover that Christ and Christ alone is our all. And be outside of him, we've nothing. Indeed, if you discover this, oh believer, if you know Christ as your Saviour, if you've been delivered from the darkness and know him as your Saviour, you will realize that outside of him, there's nothing but darkness. There's nothing in this world around us. It's all empty. It's all a desert. If we look for anything in this world, if we look for any prosperity, any hope, any sort of life, if we hope for things in this world, we'll be sorely disappointed. But if we are brought to see that there's nothing here, and our passing through this world, our joy, our riches, our food, our water, our life is to be found in Christ alone. If we expect nothing here but sin, darkness, death, corruption, then we'd cease to be disappointed when things seem to go wrong. We'd cease to be cast down by the ups and downs and the trials of life. We'd cease to be buffeted by the things that come upon us, because we know there's nothing. We know there's nothing in this world. We know there's nothing in the governments and the countries and the nations. We know there's nothing in the entertainment and the riches and the pleasures. We know there's nothing in the wisdom and the knowledge of this world. It's all empty. We'd see it for the darkness that it is, the sin, the hatred, the rebellion, because that's all that's in them. And we'd see the glory and the riches of God in Christ alone. For all life, all our life, all our light, all our understanding, all our wisdom is in Christ and in his gospel alone. Oh, what a gospel. What a message. Oh, that God would divide the light from the darkness by shining the light in the midst of the darkness. Paul knew this gospel. Paul preached this gospel. But he did so because God delivered him from the darkness of his religion. Paul, that Pharisee of the Pharisee, that Jew of the Jew, that Hebrew of the Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, that keeper of the law, that moral man, that man of knowledge, man of wisdom, man of the scriptures, man of the book. How dark and blind he was until he went on the road to Damascus to persecute the children of God, to persecute the light, and to try to cover up the light with his darkness. When he traveled to Damascus, and in the midday, a light shone down from heaven above the brightness of the sun and shone round about him and blinded him until he met with Christ, the light of the world and the light of life, until that day when he came face to face with Christ. And Christ stood before him and opened his eyes and made him see. And when Christ sent forth Saul, Paul, to preach this light of the gospel, as Paul says, he was sent forth to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. He was sent to open the eyes of the blind like you, like me, to turn us from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. Because if we're in the dark, if we don't know Christ, the reason is that in the darkness, in our unbelief, Satan has his grip upon us. We're under his power, and we're under his deception. We've heard his lies and been bewitched by them. And we continue to be. And except God come in the gospel to open our eyes and to turn us from that darkness unto light, there we will remain. We will see out our days under Satan's power in this world and enter the grave into eternal, everlasting darkness in which Satan rules our realm and torments us day and night. Oh, the folly of those that dwell in the darkness. But oh, the light that Paul preached in the gospel. He preached that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Has God shown you his light in Christ, in his gospel? Or has he hid it from you? If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Blinded our minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, the image of God, should shine unto us. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Why do we preach these things? Why are we insistent that sinners like you hear these things? Are we keeping a form? Is it a ritual? Is it a persuasion? No, it's because God has shined in our hearts and we know him and we know his life and we know the truth of it and we know the glory of it and we know the power of his gospel. We know what it is to rejoice in Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of our sins. We know what it is as those who once were dead, now to live. We know what it is as those who once dwelt in darkness, to see and to know the light of life. Oh, that we may see. Oh, that you may see what God has shone and shown unto us. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We've heard, and therefore we speak. We've seen, and therefore we declare. We know, and therefore we preach what we know to be true. Come see a man that showed me all that I have done, that knows me inside out, that knows my end from my beginning. A man who receiveth sinners. A man who came into this world in the place of sinners. A man who bore the sins of men and women, who went to the cross, who suffered the wrath of God, who took away all sin, who took away the sins of all his people, who conquered sin, death and hell. A man who brings light in the darkness. Come see him. Oh, how we love darkness by nature, and how this darkness hates the light. It rejects it, it contends with it. You reject it, you contend with it, you shut your ears to it, you argue with it, you're persuaded otherwise, you know better. But God knows best. And when he shines the light, then we will see. He shines the light where he chooses. He divides the light from the darkness and man complains. God shines the light into the hearts of his own and only his own. He has a people he's chosen, a people for whom Christ died, a people whom he divides from the darkness. A man says of God and his gospel, why not all? Why did Christ not die for all? Oh, how foolish. By nature, we don't want the light. We reject the light. We hate the light. Given a choice, we go another way. But then we contend against the truth of the light by complaining that if there is light, if there is salvation, if Christ did die upon the cross for sinners, then that salvation should be for all. We don't want it, yet we don't want others to have it. We hate it and despise it ourselves, yet we complain at a God that delivers some and not all. We seek to make God the author of our own folly and our own unbelief. We've rejected him. We've despised his gospel. And yet we seek to lay our rejection, our unbelief at God's feet. Despite the fact that God has come and stood before us in the gospel and preached his son day and night throughout time and said, behold my son. And we've said, no, no, no. Yet we contend against his truth, his gospel and his mercy. Oh, how wonderful if God delivers us from our foolishness. If he makes us to see. If he shines the light of this gospel into our hearts. Oh, if we could but see a glimpse of this light. To see Christ by faith. To be able to say with David the psalmist, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Oh, that God should take us and lead us with Mary on the first day of the week, early in the morning, to a tomb where the Lord had been laid and discover that he who is the light is risen. That he suffered for her sins. That he took her sins. That he died in her place. And that he rose again. Oh, that he should come unto us and say unto us, I suffered for your sins. I took your sins. I was judged in your place. I died the death that you should die, that you should live and reign in me. Oh, that we should see him and know him as our light and our life, which shines forevermore. Amen.